Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Pretty Boy Podcast. Here, I'm your host, Pretty Boy Chris, and this podcast is brought to you by the Rage Game Network Podcast and Rage Game Network Podcast Crew. Welcome back, Ragers. It's your boy, Pretty Boy Chris, here for this newest episode of the Pretty Boy Podcast. Not too bad of a day so far. I know it was kind of hot earlier, kind of humid here. I got to walk the dogs, kind of got to be outside for a little bit, but as I look over from my recording studio here, it's getting really dark outside. It's a lot of clouds, and we might be getting some rain here shortly, so I figured before I get stuck watching YouTube videos and researching for the next couple episodes of the Pretty Boy Podcast, I figure I would record an episode here. So we'll, you get to hear my wonderful voice for the next, we'll say 40 to 50 minutes or so. But yeah, no, there's a lot going on. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I might go see a movie, since it's going to be kind of crappy out. And I know there's a couple movies that are out video game related. There's that Spider-Man one that's out. There's Flash is still out. Heard that's actually not too bad. And then I know the Indiana Jones movie just came out. I don't know if I really want to go see that now, even though I do have two free tickets to go see that movie. So if I can find someone, maybe I'll take someone. I don't know. We'll see. All right. So this episode of the Pretty Boy Podcast, we are going to be talking about a lot of RPG and a lot of Lord of the Rings. I had a lot of information I found in the common topics, so that's kind of what this episode is going to be mostly centered around, I would say. So to start off in our mini topics, we're actually going to talk about Lord of the Rings Gollum, the developers and what's going on with them. I guess they're not doing too well, so we'll talk about what's going on in that world of the video games realm. We'll talk about Baldur's Gate 3, the game that's coming out fairly shortly here in the next month or two or so, actually just got moved forward for a release date for one of the platforms. So we'll get into that in a little bit. And then I'm not going to spend a ton of time. I'm going to kind of leave this more for Rage Game Network, but we're going to talk a little bit about the brand new test play from D&D that just came out. We'll kind of just go over the basics of that for mini topic, and then I'll leave it up to Rage Game Network Podcast to talk more about that test play. And then we're going to go into our main topics for today. And our main topics for today we're looking at are going to be the, apparently, the final open RPC creator license is here. It's been filed. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. We're going to talk about the one, the only, One Ring to Rule Them All, and how it was founded, with a news that just came out, I want to say, within the last few hours of me recording this, and we'll explain what that's all about. And then we will go on break, and then when we come back from break, we're going to talk about one of the companies in Nintendo's first-party studio slash Pokemon company, right, Niantic. Apparently, they're laying off a few people. We just found out, so I'll kind of explain why that's going on currently. And then towards the end here, and I do these every once in a while in the podcast, I try to bring together or to light some of the things that you would use in your tabletop gaming sessions, some things that can enhance your play when I get some time. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about Hero Forge. And things that you need to know about Hero Forge, we have at Rage Game Network in the past, have used Hero Forge, I want to say, in one of our 3.5 campaigns edition. So again, we'll talk a little bit about them, what you can do, what you can see, and obviously everything we talk about will be down in the show notes down below here from where you're watching this podcast. At least, not watching, listening to this podcast. Then obviously at the end here, we are definitely going to talk about Pretty Boy's Game of the Week. I actually kind of like this game. I haven't played it in quite some time. I just haven't gotten back to it. on the PS4, but I like it. I think you guys will like it, and it kind of goes with the theming of today in general for this episode of the Pretty Boy Podcast. Okay, so let's get rolling here into mini topics for today. And for today's mini topic, we are going to start with our first mini topic, which is about the Lord of the Rings Gollum game. And apparently one of the developers is out of developing games. So we had an article from GameSpot that popped up a couple days ago as of recording. And the company that is behind developing the current Lord of the Rings Gollum game, Dyadic Entertainment, is undergoing a lot of changes. Unfortunately, due to the poor reception of the Lord of the Rings Gollum game, the studio has canceled also a new Lord of the Rings game that was in development, but they did make a statement just saying that they are going to focus on being a publishing gaming company, not developing any gaming company, based on what happened with the story trailer for Lord of the Rings Gollum. So they really just want to focus more on what's going forward with this game, and then they're going to focus mostly on publishing games for other companies. Also reading the article here, they had mentioned that they're going to probably have to lay off some people. Because of this, they actually took funding from the German company, because it's a German, the German Federal Ministry of Economic Affairs and Climate Protection. So they are a German company. So that's why there's going to be some downsizing, I guess, for this company here. So from what I got through here, they asked about, you know, is the Gollum game going to be made? It looks like they're going to patch it up, and they are still going to develop it. They're still going to release it. But anything after this Lord of the Rings Gollum game, they're not developing any game. They are just publishing games for now on. So, they're also working on, it sounds like, upcoming titles here. Weta, Lord of the Rings Return to Moria, I believe is an, if I recall, a RPG game. And then they're also working on a Lord of the Rings MMO game for Amazon, which we have not heard any details about that. So, yeah, I mean, sucks to be them, but I get it, you know. This Lord of the Rings Gollums did, I don't know if you've ever seen the trailer. I think it came out at least 3 or 4 months ago now. I'm not going to lie. It looked too cartoonish, and it looked, I don't know if they're developing this game based on the movie or the books. I'm going to guess the books. They might have rights to the books when they're creating these games. But the gen, it just looked last gen graphics, in my opinion. Some of the things weren't really fleshed out the way that they could be, you know, especially to today's standards. It didn't look that good, and honestly the models kind of were Gollum kind of just did not look good. He looked like a sickly old man, basically. He didn't really look like what Gollum looks like and described in the books. So yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think they're just gonna do this, go on, and yeah, just become a publishing company. So yeah, we heard that there might be some issues there. I guess we'll have to see. So we'll go on to our second mini topic today, and our second mini topic of the podcast. We found out that Baldur's Gate 3, the video game, is going to be moving its release dates. One is going forward, one is going backwards. From the article we got here from Dice Breaker, we found out that they are currently in early access for the PC version for the last couple of years. A lot of the mechanics in this game are very similar to the Player's Handbook, the Monster Manual, and the DM's Guidebook. So it was saying here that, along with a number of its playable races and classes, that's really where they pulled all that stuff. The current roster of character options do include things like gnomes, and other creatures and classes, including clerics, warlocks, druids, bards, which is awesome. So the full game is going to have about a dozen classes, 46 subclasses, 11 races and species, and 31 subspecies based off of the player's handbook. And then they also have in here, plus more than skills and spells. So I guess they're going to have about almost 600 skills and spells in the game. Again, pulled right from the handbook. So that's great that they're incorporating. And my understanding, it's a company that's affiliated with Dungeons & Dragons company for making this. So that's great. That's great to hear that. So here's the whole news portion here. Baldur's Gate 3. So the original plan was they were going to release Baldur's Gate 3 August 31st, 2023 this year for both the PC and the PlayStation 5. However, we just learned that they're actually going to move the PlayStation version back and they're going to move the PC version forward. So now what we're getting is that in about a month for me, as of recording, Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be released on the PC August 3rd, while PlayStation 5's version is going to launch about a month later. They're going to wait until September 6th. In the article, the publishing director happened to mention that they're, I guess, having some problems with the PS5 version, and that's why they're delaying it. They wanted to make sure that the studio had the highest possible quality on every platform, so that's why they delayed it. They did cite that they wanted to focus on that 60 frames per second performance, which, yeah, no, I mean, if the game's not, like I keep telling you guys on this podcast and even on Rage Game Network podcast, if the game's not ready to go at launch and you need to delay it as long as you need it. With how things have been lately, I really am big on, you know, making sure that you're producing high quality games, they make sense, there's eliminate as many of the bugs and issues as possible in the game. That's my biggest concern with how gaming is done today. I don't like the, we have a deadline, rush it, throw it out there, and then fix bugs later on. I think they need to start addressing a lot of those situations and issues ahead of time. And obviously, if you get little bugs here and there, you address it in the moment, right? You can go in and patch games from afar, which is great. That's fantastic. So, we do not, I believe I said this earlier, but they feel like the PC version is really well, it's doing great. The Xbox version of this game has not been given a date yet. The article announces and says that they're experiencing technical issues and constraints that we have to overcome in relation to the Microsoft console requires the studio to spend more time working on the port, adding that compromises and unlikely, but it's still targeting a 2023 launch. So they're still having technical issues with the Xbox and the Microsoft products, which go figure. I kind of figure they were going to have some issues, right? They're really building this for the next gen, the PC, and porting everything out. And I guess the Series X and S won't be able to handle it. So I guess we'll see. But yeah, no, that sounds great. Just understand that there's, I think they said 170 hours of gameplay for the story. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of good stuff that we'll be able to do in this game. So I'm excited to at least check it out at some point and see what that's all about. All right, so our last mini topic today, we are going to go over very briefly the new D&D test play document that just came out a few days ago as of this recording. They have released through D&D Beyond the Unearth Arcane Playtest document. This is, I think, playtest number 6. I didn't get to watch everything. I'm going to research more of this for Rage Game Network when we do sit down and have our record our episode, hopefully very soon here. But a lot of what I heard just looking at this article was that the document's about 77 pages filled of classes, spells, feats, and weapons. From what I got out of it briefly, this is probably the biggest document that D&D has released for a test play. So I don't know how long it's going to be available. They didn't mention that when I was listening in. I'd imagine it's going to be about a month or so. So if you are interested and want to look at this test play, please take the time go onto your D&D Beyond accounts and check it out. Check the document out. Check the different classes, the spells, the feats, and the weapons that will be available for our new 2024 version of Dungeons & Dragons 5e. But we're gonna, yeah, this one, like I mentioned, I got to do more research, so we're going to leave this kind of for Rage Game Network. We're going to spend a lot more time talking about it on that podcast. I'm not really going to talk a ton of it right now, but yeah, keep that in mind. I think it sounds like from what I'm just listening at that there's a lot more. There's more vast amount of information that we're going to cover and that we're going to deal with for this. So check out Rage Game Network podcast coming up next couple, hopefully a couple weeks here. We'll have an episode for you. We'll talk all about this test play for number 6. All right. Looks like we're going to go into main topics today. So we got 4 main topics. Like usual, I'm going to do 2 topics, take a break, do 2 more topics. Okay. So we're just going to get into this. And the first main topic for today was we found out not that long ago that the final open RPG creator ORC license is here. So basically what we're saying is that our open RPG creative licensing has been completed. We just got an article here that I have put down below that after they worked on a bunch of drafts and got some feedbacks throughout the community of D&D and other tabletop gaming communities, Ezra Law, who's been working with Wizards of the Coast and Dungeons & Dragons to create their Creative Commons license, has announced that they have a final version of the Open RPG Creative License, and that is ready for use now. So if you go down in the show notes below, you can see the actual license information. Click on the link there. You can pull up the document. It's looks like 5 pages, the interim license that will explain how everything will go. And then there's also answers and explanations. So any questions that have been asked about the ORC license, the Open RPG Common Creative License, you could check in here and it'll explain everything to you. Just pull out some of this, right? We had the whole, if you guys remember, we talked about on Rage Game Network podcast, the open gaming license crisis that happened earlier this year. What Wizard of the Coast was talking about changing the current license that existed in Dungeons and Dragons and other tabletop gamings that use this open gaming license. So now they're converting it over. Some of the features of the license that have been mentioned is that the mechanics are expressly made license materials, quote unquote. It says their term for open content, which can be used freely. So anything that is open to be used for any tabletop gameplay is going to be licensed as documented in the wording in this document is going to say licensed material. Okay. So anything that's just basic information that you can use no matter what. Now, trademark, lore, art, and etc. other things are going to be considered reserved material. So as it says here, not open, it cannot be freely used, but can be designed by creators as expressly designed license material and shared. So that's that, you know, that's what they want to copyright, trademark, keep to themselves for D&D, but it looks like some of that information could be shared if done the right way. You don't have to include a copy of the license in your product, it looks like, but you do need to include an ORC notice, which notes attributes, reserved materials, and expressly designed license material. So I guess when you do create your gaming systems and when you play games, they should be, if they are not D&D related or Wizards of the Coast related products, should have an ORC. So I'm going to guess that's the Open RPG Creator Licensing Notice on it to let you know. Yeah, so just to let you know, the license did get submitted to the U.S. Library of Congress. which made a comment in here saying that it doesn't give them control over it in any way. It just ensures that the safety and dispute is stored somewhere in case there's dispute on the content of the license. So I guess they're storing the license. So if down the road there is a problem and there's a legal issue when it comes to this license, that the U.S. Library of Congress essentially is holding a document for this so that they are aware and they can use that to kind of help explain what the legal problems are that are going on. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear this, that they at least did this in this RPG community forum that I was looking at. You know, this has been the big kicker right now with D&D and the whole what's going on with them when it comes to this license thing and this crisis that we had earlier this year. You know, it's July. I think we talked about it in January. It was a huge problem back then. So, yeah, no, I get it. It's fine. You know, they worked with a law firm. They were able to come up with a final version. Everyone signed off. They like it. It's good. So they got their open RPG common creative law license. And that's great. That's great that they did that. So I guess I hope this really helps the community here, you know, like at Rage Game Network, but also in other communities that exist for Pathfinder and D&D and some of these Call of Cthulhu and all these other RPG games that we are playing all the time, that, you know, we can start now using a license and feel more comfortable with this material. So, no, I'm glad that we talked about that. And I think a lot of you are pretty excited about that, that we don't have to focus too much more about this crisis. We could put this crisis away now and not have to focus about that. So I'm glad to see that they were able to handle that situation fairly well at this point in time. All right. I think we're going to go to our next topic. And the next topic, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's been some recent news that's gone out about a certain one-of-a-kind card that has recently surfaced. And I think it's very important that we discuss about this topic, because I think you will kind of figure out what this means in a moment here.
One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all, and in the darkness, find them.
That's right, everyone. The One Ring to rule them all. Lord of the Rings, the Ring of Power there. One, I can't believe we are jumping from the licensing for Wizards of the Coast. Now we're jumping into Wizards of the Coast Magic card. Magic the Gathering cards. So, I want to say earlier this year, Wizards of the Coast stunned players earlier this year when the trading card game Juggernaut revealed that the upcoming Lord of the Rings collaboration would include an exclusive one-of-a-kind card, the One Ring. And, God, I just saw a picture of it. It looks amazing. In Elvish, and with the full, it looks like almost like molten lava in the background with the ring, and it looks beautiful, guys. It looks fantastic. I love it. So, yeah, no, they announced this earlier today. People have been literally buying. I have it down here that fans have been buying hundreds of thousands of dollars of booster packs and different card packs to get the One Ring that we just put in this news podcast here. So with that being said, a lot of the news outlets are reporting currently that the One Ring has been found. The card has been found, and that there's actually offers for collectors to buy this card that is worth, I guess, upwards of $2 million for this one-of-a-kind card. Now, with that being said, one of the companies, I think it was PSA and a card shop called Dave and Adams, who apparently discovered this One Ring card, did get it appraised and looked at. And PSA they actually got a picture of this. They uploaded it into their personal account, the official Twitter account. I apologize. And they have come out to say that Dave and Adams, this card shop that has it, is confirming that this card has received a grading of Mint 9. So you're probably asking me, hey, pretty boy, what the heck is Mint 9? What's this rating of cards? Well, guess what, guys? I have no clue. I'm not a I'm not a huge card collector, but thank God the internet provided a lot of information for me and was able to help me in this matter. So, Mint 9, based on the description that I have here, says, and I pulled this right from the PSA website, is a superb condition that exists only one of the following minor flaws to it. So, things like a very slight wax stain on the reverse side, a minor printing imperfection, or slightly off-white borders. Centering must be approximate 60-40 to 65-35 or better on the front side. And I believe it's got to be a 90-10 or better on the reverse side. So that's the official description of what Mint 9 is. I can't tell if there's any problems with this card based off what I'm seeing. And I'm looking at the Twitter right now that PSA Cards has. Maybe the bordering is the issue. Maybe that's probably why it's a Mint 9 and not a Mint 10. But yeah, no, it looks fantastic. I mean, it's beautiful. It's got the Magic Card logo on the backside. It's got the One Ring on the front side. It looks beautiful, guys. I'm so happy to look at this. But you're probably asking, hey, pretty boy, like Mint 9 card, you said this one's worth $2 million. Like, how much does it normally cost for a Mint 9 card? So, again, we looked at the article. And generally speaking, because this is a one-of-a-kind, it's going to be obviously more than other ones. But generally, if you had a Mint 9 card in your collection, right, and they've made multiple products of these, they say that it costs right around $20,000 U.S. dollars on a normal card that has multiple cards in production. So just to give you an idea, it's normally a $20,000 card, but because this is one of a kind, it's in the millions that people are willing to pay for this. So that's just crazy to think about that. But yeah, it's crazy to think about it. Like I said, Dave and Adams Card Shop, I guess, has it. Magic the Gathering is owned by Wizards of the Coast, and you know, they did mention when this came out, Wizards of the Coast mentioned that the card was only going to be found in an English language booster pack. So it was only going to be found in one of those English language booster packs. So I don't know exactly where this company is. I didn't look it up, but someone found it somewhere in the world. And voila, guys, we have this. It's fantastic. It looks great. I'm glad that someone found it. Like I said, go down the show notes. It'll tell you. You can see a picture of it. It looks beautiful. And yeah, there's other cards that are like this, one of a kind. I guess Yu-Gi-Oh's got one. I think it's a Make-A-Wish promotional card called Tyler, the Great Warrior. So they're not the only ones, but it involves a franchise that's huge in Lord of the Rings. So keep up the good work and keep an eye on that. You know, so maybe if you find this card, how about you send a picture to Rage Gate Network? Let them know that, hey, I got the card and this is what it looks like. That'd be great. I'd like to put that on our social media pages. All right, guys, I think we'll take a quick little break here just so I can look up a few more things. And then we will, when we get back from break, we'll finish up with the topics that we have. All right. See y'all in a little bit. Welcome back from the break, everyone. All right, Ragers, let's get back into this. All right, so let's get into topic number three today. And topic number three today, we're going to talk about the Pokemon Company And apparently there's going to be some layoffs with the Pokemon Company. So, with that being said, we just got an announcement. I was checking on CNBC, actually, this popped up, and I thought this was very interesting. But Niantic has announced Thursday before I recorded this, so approximately 2 days prior to this, that they are laying off 230 employees, and they're doing some reorganization of the company. So the company, it's privately held, and they are also, with the layoffs, they're canceling a bunch of games. The CEO just mentioned. So they mentioned that they're canceling their NBA All-World game. They're going to stop production right now in their Marvel-based titles, and they have not had a release date. And I guess they're shuttering the Los Angeles-based studio, and that's where they're going to be mostly affected, is the Los Angeles-based studio portion are going to be getting layoffs. So, which is kind of sad, because they really were doing a good job with Pokemon Go and everything, but I think the last couple of years there's been some ongoing things in the world of mobile gaming that I think has hit them pretty hard. But if you don't know, Niantic did land its first major hit with Pokemon Go, actually, in 2016. But since then, there's been, with all the regulation, with all the changes that are going on in the world, especially in the United States, a lot of the Apple and Google apps, they're introducing things that are preventing advertising and tracking, things of that nature, and that's starting to become more expensive and more unpredictable to Niantic. So they were unfortunately having some internal and external factors that they had to consider within the company and outside the company, obviously, and their overall global economic slowdown that had this decision in mind. So they're really trying to become top priority company. They do have to kind of look at some things. It gets into the financial side of this. They mentioned that since 2020, they've seen a decline in 5% of their games, and they said it's about $110 million. So that's a lot of money that they're losing. Really came to, there's a shift in the way of augmented reality, computer graphics data in the real world that kind of forced this decision. And unfortunately, 230 people are going to be losing their jobs, unfortunately, because of this. And there's a section in here that gets into the whole idea of technology, you know, with headsets and goggles as being powerful cameras, and how we can integrate that with the real world or the virtual world, especially with like ProQuest, Vision Pro headsets from Apple and other things. That's really taken a huge hit with Niantic and their products. So they're not able to meet the standard of, let's say, Meta and Google and Apple and all that that's going on. So, you know, I'm not surprised, I would say. I mean, the big takeaway points here that I would say is there's a lot of things going on overall. I think Pokemon Go, and I know Andy and can mention this, we've talked a little bit before, but I think it's gone downhill, the quality of the product, how things have been going in the game. I know I stopped playing not that long ago, and I was enjoying it a lot. You know, I just think that just the way things are right now, you know, I think they need to reorganize the company, their business plan, what they want to do, and then, yeah, restructure, reorganize, and take us to the next level here. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks, but in the end, I think it's just going to come down to they need to get their stuff together. And once they get their stuff together, then I think that's when we're going to see them prosperous again. All right, so that's topic number three. We're going to go to topic number four. And topic number four today, like I mentioned, this is now going to just be more, you know, we kind of finished all the new stuff for today. I just want to take a moment and a little bit of time today to focus on a company called Hero Forge. which will help you with your tabletop gaming experience, and it'll help you with what type of characters that you want to create, whether that is your own personal character you want to use throughout your campaigns and adventures, or if you need to get a bunch of monsters, you can create them. So Hero Forge lets you bring your tabletop RPG game characters to life in a way that no way you'll find miniatures in the store. I mean, the beauty behind this system here is it is 100% customizable the way you want it. You don't have that preset, this is what an half elf looks like, or an orc looks like, or a human looks like with these subclasses, etc., etc. You can create your character the way you want. And that's what I like. It's a one-of-a-kind miniature of your character that you can use in your tabletop gaming sessions. And I like that. Completely customizable, designed the way that you like your character. And it brings really this idea that it's yours. It's your idea. Heck, you can, if you want to paint it yourself, you can paint your own sculptures, miniatures the way you want, or you can have them do it. They'll do that. On the website, I was looking at it, you can actually now buy the schematic of your character. And if you've got a 3D printer, you could print the thing yourself and then create your own characters that way. So you don't even have to have them create the miniatures. You could create your own. You just basically buy the blueprint for it and then create it yourself. And I think that's really cool that you could do that. That's something that we haven't seen in a long time. And like I said, Rage Game, we've used this. We a few years back when we were playing 3.5 edition of D&D, one of my last campaigns in that program, we actually bought our own characters. Andy had given us a gift card to Hero Forge, and that's what we did. You know, I think I got a little bit of the higher quality plastic because we didn't do any coloring or anything to our characters, but I had the character designed exactly the way that I wanted. And the gift card basically paid for it, which is super cool. If I can find mine, I think Andy's got it. Well, maybe we'll take pictures on the Facebook community page so you guys can see that, because it's really cool. I mean, you could do anything and everything here. You can click your species. You can click what type of head style you want. You can click, like, face, ears, hair, whatever hairstyle you want, beard, different styles of facial hair, basically, brows, how you want your eyebrows, the different styles of your eyes, your teeth. Do you want to have fangs or do you just want to have regular teeth? Do you want to give them horns? Like, that's just the head section alone. You know, body, obviously, torso, legs, you know, your overall measurements, your, if you have wings, tails, any extra features that you need to have on your body, you can create that. And you can see that designed in this character as you're building it. Clothing. What type of certain clothing are you looking for? Is it a certain outfit you want to give this person? Like, I got a royal one right now that I just threw on this guy. It looks like a king. You know, head. Do you want to do your head a little different? Like, I just threw this one on. It's got a little mask. That's kind of cool. You know, shoulders. Do you want to have shoulder blades like you're wearing armor, right? That's the beauty behind this is everything, like I mentioned, is customizable. Gloves, you know, your pants, your feet, the gear, sword, axes. You could put literally a side sword. You could, like, I could put a backpack if I wanted. Wearing a cape. Rings. You could have them wearing rings or ear piercings. Poses. You can literally pose this. Put this guy in a pose that you want, and that's how you'll get him or her. You know, it's beautiful. There's so many things. And like I said, I'm going through so much. But the whole point is you can design the character exactly the way you want with all the information that you want. And that's what I like about this. You can color him, her. It's just beautiful. So I just want you to at least be aware of that this is a great opportunity for yourself, that if you are interested in maybe creating a character and you want to print your own, or let's say you want to, wow, I can create my character in bronze. It'll cost me $100, but I'll get it in bronze. That's, yeah, we use premium plastic, I think, when I bought mine. Mine's like a darker color, and it's like $30 for my miniature that I had. It's normally $20 for the regular plastic. And it was great. I mean, it did the job. It did what we had to do, and we loved it. So, yeah, I love it. It's a great opportunity, especially if you want to enhance your tabletop gaming experience. I really recommend that everyone looks into this, because I think this is a great opportunity to create the character that you want for your campaign. All right, so let's finish up the podcast today. We're going to talk about Pretty Boy's Game of the Week. And for this Game of the Week, like I said, we're going to keep with the topic of Lord of the Rings and maybe a little bit of the RPG kind of realm, we'll just say. The game I picked for this week is, drumroll please, Middle-earth Shadow of War. It's a fantastic game. I think most people are going to love this game. So let me just read the description here real quick. Experience an epic open world brought to life by the award-winning Nemesis system. Forge a new ring of power, conquer fortresses and massive battles, and dominate Mordor with your personal orc army in Middle-earth Shadow of War. The recent reviews, they all have come in very positive, and even all the reviews in Steam, very positive. About 67,000 reviews say very positive. We'll review a couple things in a little bit here. I'll check the Steam site, and I'll give you my experience on this game. The game was released on Steam on October 9th, 2017. The developer of the game is Monolith Productions, and the publisher of the game is WB Games, so Warner Brothers Games. You can get the game for $49.99. That's the basic game. And I think you can get the high premium up to $99.99, I want to say. So check the link below. You can see where you can get the game. You can get the game on PC. You can get the game on PlayStation, Xbox, pretty much anywhere. It's been out for a while. Yeah, it's a really good game. I haven't played it in a while just because I haven't been able to. And I feel bad because I'm usually really good about that. But yeah, it's really good. Just looking at some of the screen shots, because it's been a while since I played this. Yeah, I mean, you play in a ranger. He was, from what I recall, I don't remember his name off the top of my head. He was killed by a bunch of Sauron's minions. He was brought back to life. Celebrimbor was the one who brought him back, so he's not living nor dead. So it's you and him are basically working together. In this video game, you are creating your own ring of power. So the One Ring, you create pretty much the good version of that, so he can't corrupt you, Sauron. But yeah, just looking at this, I mean, the Nazgul coming in and just the flames coming off of the dragon here against the orcs, that's awesome. And you're controlling that. The amount of orcs and the texture and the is beautiful. The Nemesis system, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of this, but in the Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War games, there's a Nemesis system. So as you are killing off the orcs, you can level them up and move them up the chain. But if you get killed in combat, that person who kills you actually will go up. So you either can promote them to go up, or if they kill you, they get more reputation, more power, and then they move up in the system. It's almost like an AI system, and it knows. If you run away from battles and you see them later on, they're going to call you a wuss. You know, if they killed you and you see them again, they're going to make sure they let you know that, hey, I killed you. You know, so that's what's fun about this game. Is that there's just so much going on, and it's beautiful of a game. And I believe you exist throughout the lands of Mordor and just on the outside of Mordor, when you play this new one. But yeah, it's a very good game. I 100% recommend, if you have not played this game, definitely play this game. But let's see here. So some of the reviews, and I'll read a couple of them, the most recent ones, okay? Irwell, he's played about 13 hours of the game on Steam. He puts in his most recent one here. A repetitive and clunky combat stealth looter game with an actually well-progressed skill XP system and some quite enjoyable RNG repetitive mechanics involving first enemy orcs, then orcs that you have to turn to your side as explored after around the 5 to 7 hour mark of gameplay. There are strongholds too that work like Ubisoft's tower mechanisms, and the orcs intertwine a fun wee gimmick in an otherwise quite pleasantly average yet somewhat frustrating game. Oh, and no more pay to win. Good on sale. Yeah, it's definitely a good game to get on sale. Yeah, I'm glad there's none of that pay to win crap that is in many of the games in the late 2010s, early 2020s. I'm glad that's kind of gone, because that was annoying. He makes good points. You know, after about the first, I think it's the first act, now you really get to play more into this Nemesis system. You actually get to turn the orcs against each other, which is beautiful and nice. Yeah, I think you guys will like them. Good grind rating is super fun. Another commenter here said, super fun, and the Nemesis system is one of the greatest gaming systems for fun and replayability. Absolutely. 100%. The Nemesis system is what makes me go back to that game. Guy down here put, very amazing game. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Yeah, just really good opportunities here. And I'll read maybe one or two more here if I can. That's a long one. We're gonna pick one that's not as long. Mars here from Steam mentions, she puts recommend. She's played about 72 hours on the game. The game has a vast open world, pretty landscapes, and attention to detail, all of which brings Tolkien's universe to life. The Nemesis system was quite fun to discover too. If you're looking for a game that combines orc slashing action with a heart serving of humor and hobbit hilarity, this might be the game for you. Grab your sword, ready your wit comebacks, and prepare to embark on a journey that might involve more non-consensual stabbing than what you might like. And you stab a lot of people. I think they mentioned in here orc slaying action with heart. I think that's what it was. Slaying action. I think it was the orc slaying action. To me, remember, it's Warner Brother Games, so this came out, I want to say, after the whole Arkham Knight series of games. It does kind of feel like they're really good games, but I do feel like it almost reminds me of the Batman Arkham Knight series, just in Lord of the Rings, and then they tied in a lot more other systems in there. So, yeah, that's something to think about if you're really kind of looking into that. Yeah, it's a good game. I mean, like I said, go ahead and read through all of this. I mean, Celebrimbor is wonderful at this. Like I said, the main character, and I completely forgot his name just because it's been a while since I've done this. Great game. I highly recommend people to play it. I know it's just been a while. It can be frustrating. Let me tell you, I've had a couple times playing the game where I've been frustrated because I feel like I can't get anywhere. I need to do side quests before I can get through the main quest. But each area, you do have a fortress you have to take over, so you do have to do side missions and get yourself built up to the level where you can take these individuals out. So just be aware of that. But yeah, no, good game. Definitely recommend it if you have not played that game. All right, and before we leave here today, let me just plug Rage Game Network and Pretty Boy Podcasts, and then we'll get on out of here. So, for Rage Game Network, if you're interested in learning more about Rage Game Network, you can check down below in our show notes. I've got the links to our Facebook page, our Instagram page, our Discord page, and YouTube. We've got a couple videos in there. If you would like to email us and let us know what's going on, email us at ragers@ragegamenetwork.com. That's ragers@ragegamenetwork.com. And if you want to check out our website, www.ragegamenetwork.com, that is the greatest place to check out right now. That's where you're going to find all our podcast areas where you can listen to us and any of the platforms. As we always say, Spotify is the one that hosts us for this podcast and Rage Game Network podcast. So I recommend going to Spotify, listen to us on there. Put the thumbs up, 5 stars if you love us. Follow us on all the platforms. Let us know that you really like what we're providing here in the Rage Game Network community. Also, if you want to get a t-shirt, that's the place you want to go. You can get t-shirt, mugs, flags, backpacks. We got a merch store. There's some really good stuff in there, so check it out. Buy some good stuff from us. If you want to see where you can find myself, Pretty Boy Chris, you can find me on Facebook, Discord, Twitch, YouTube. I've got some videos of my gameplay down below for the past couple years, so please check it out. And if you want to email me about anything, you can reach out to me at blahblah0267@gmail.com. That's blahblah0267@gmail.com. And guys, when you are posting things up on the internet about Rage Game Network or anything you think that we might like, feel free to tag us along. So I've got down the show notes. Put those tags that I've got down there. #RagingOut. #Ragers. #RageGameNetwork. #RGN. Or #PrettyBoyChris. We'll see you down there. And obviously, if you're going to mention us, feel free, like on Facebook, put the @, put Pretty Boy Podcast or Rage Game Network, and we should pop up for you there. All right. Well, like I said, it's kind of gloomy out here and there's not much going on. So I think we're going to end this podcast a little early. So thank you, Ragers, for hanging in here for this episode of the Pretty Boy Podcast. I hope you guys have a wonderful day, night, whenever you are listening to this. And I'll see if, I can go maybe to the movies with someone and enjoy that wonderful time. So just don't forget to check us out. Make sure you like us. Click that button. Click all the stars. Hit that follow button. You know, go to the website. It's the same thing. Join our community. Get to know us a little bit. Let us know what you want to do. If you want to play games, we'll play games with you. So, all right, everyone, we're going to get out of here. But thank you for joining us for this episode of the Pretty Boy Podcast. And we will see you next time. Be safe. #RagingOut.